I invite you to join me in the book of Acts, if you would. Chapter 3. I try to consider how I'll open a message. Sometimes I think about just standing up and saying thank you for inviting me out here tonight to speak before you. Thank you for giving me the privilege of speaking God's word to you. But tonight, as I sat there and I heard our pastor pray, the Lord provided me something to say while you're turning to the book of Acts. When I began giving devotions, my greatest fear was that I was doing it for my sake, for the glory of men. People would come up to me afterwards and say, "Great job, John." That scared me to death. It still does. I still deal with, thank you, John, for your message, with difficulty. I do not want to be a man who stands before God's people for my own sake. I never want to accept a person's praise for my own sake, for God's praise. If God has blessed you with His word, and I look like I'm being a little difficult in accepting your thanks for it, just know this, that I know that it was the Lord who blessed you. Preachers can stand before you and speak, but it takes the Holy Spirit to make it effectual to your heart. That's why someone can sit in the congregation and say, "I'm not a sinner like that," and get up and walk out with their daughter or granddaughter or whoever she was. Or someone who will sit and listen to the message of the preacher up here and just be blessed, like we were this morning with the Bible study, the devotional, the message, the memorial service for our brother Phil. I just walked out of here today with a heart filled with the blessings of God. So I pray tonight that as I stand before you, you don't look at the man. Look to the Word of God. See what the Word of God says. Look to Jesus Christ, because that's what the Word of God points us to. Amen. Are you with me in Acts chapter 3? Join me if you would in verse 9. "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." This is the title for tonight's message. Praising God, and I'd like to bring before you 3 points. The first of 3 is, who are those that praise God? And before I get into the scripture showing us who are those that praise God, I have 4 questions for you. Can anyone give praise to God when they say, "Praise Allah"? That's what "praise Allah" means. But those who say "praise Allah," are they giving praise to the real God? Can anyone give praise to God when they say, "Praise God," but they deny the lordship of Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God? Watchtower people do not believe that Christ is God, but they say "praise God," don't they? Are they praising God? Can any who deny the power of Christ by declaring that their will over His give praise to God? Can any who believe that they have become righteous by something that they have done give praise to God? You don't need to turn there, but in John 4:24, it says, our Lord says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." To worship Him is to praise Him. To praise Him is to worship Him. They go hand in hand. How could anyone believe that the God of Scriptures, perfect, holy, so holy that He cannot look upon sin, who cannot lie, would accept any praise that is not based in truth. The Word of God declares, and I can say this because the entire Word of God that we have right here before us is the inspired Word of God. So I can say this, thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
In Mark 12:32, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. So to the question of those that praise Allah, Allah is not the God of Scriptures. It's a lie. To call that a God is a lie. Well, that doesn't go very well with praising God and worshiping God in spirit and truth, does it? Colossians 2:9, thus saith the Lord, for in Him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if you don't see Jesus Christ as Lord of all, as God in the flesh, as the God-man, you're not giving God praise. Romans 9:16, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So if you believe in man's so-called free will, you believe in a lie. It is not of your will. It is of God's will. And that lie will lead you to destruction. In Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. Mankind has no righteousness of their own. If you believe that you have worked your way into righteousness and that what you will do makes you righteous in the sight of God, then you are not praising God. So who are those? Who are those that praise God? Look at verse 1, if you would please, of this chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This certain man was lame from his mother's womb. Can you imagine what it must have been like for him to sit there every day watching people walk by? Oh, how often this man must have thought to himself, if only my legs would work. If only I could get my legs to work. I can only imagine that I would sit there myself and try and try and try and try. I don't think I could give up. I think giving up would mean I'd have to take my own life. So I have to imagine that that man laid there thinking to himself, oh, if I could just make my legs work. In verse 9 of chapter 4, this man is called an impotent man. That's a big word that just means helpless. It means he's unable to change his imposition. And this is a picture of all of mankind. Would you turn to Luke chapter 18, please? Spiritually speaking, we all come into this world with the same imposition. Lame. Unable to walk in righteousness. We don't walk in righteousness because we have none of our own. It's not until the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us by the Spirit, shows us that we have no righteousness, opens our mind to His righteousness, that if we walk in any righteousness at all, it's His. This was a man who had a need of a physician. Are you with me in Luke 18? Beginning at verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, speaking of Christ, a certain blind man. Oh, how wonderful it would be to be the certain man. How wonderful it was when God said, John, John, hear my word. At that moment, I was the certain man when the gospel was preached.
Yes, sir.
And I heard it with my heart. I saw it with my eyes. And a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Remember when you cried? Remember when the first time you felt your need of mercy? And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Again, a picture of all mankind, blind to the truth, born in sin, unable to see the kingdom of God. A man who had a need. A man who needed a physician. In Mark, you don't need to turn there, but in Mark 2:15 it says, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. And there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician. The physician. But they that are sick, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Amen. Are you in need of a physician? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. These are just two examples, which are many in Scripture, given in Scripture, of the condition of mankind. But none are more clear than the event of raising Lazarus from the dead. You see, the nature of all mankind died in Adam in the Garden of Eden. When we come into this world, we come into it dead in trespasses and sin. That's what the Word of God says. If you don't see yourself as dead in trespasses and sin at one time, then you don't see the truth of Scriptures. Are you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1? And you hath he quickened, given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's God's Word. God gives life. When, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Pretty tough to imagine Donna. It's pretty tough for me to imagine that she's ever walked in that path. I have put you on a pretty high pedestal. I know I shouldn't, because you are human. But God says that where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world.
Yes, sir.
God says that among whom also we all had our conversations in times past. My mom sits right here. Can't picture my mom being anything but perfect. And don't try to change that picture. It just needs to stay that way. But God says it's not. God says it's not. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature, born dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Our brother Mike brought us in a Bible study this morning about how he mentioned how it's hard to look now on what we used to be and not be judgmental towards others. It is. You're absolutely right. I was very blessed by that message you brought this morning.
Amen. Me too.
We were just like that. Just like that. Verse 4. And this brings me to my next point. Why do they praise God? Why do those who've had their truth of who they are and what they are revealed praise God? But God. Because He's God. He's the creator of everything around us. Nothing was made that wasn't made by Him. The miracle. The speed. You guys realize that Carol's life was saved within an hour and a half's time. From the moment Lamar noticed that she was that something was wrong and dialed 911, an hour and a half later, they had a, whatever that thing is called, in her brain, blasting that thing that was about to kill her or disable her for the rest of her life. God's the one who inspired that to be invented. Everything had to be made up to that.
Yes, sir.
Praise God just for the fact that He's God.
Amen.
But let's go even more than that, shall we? Those who give true praise to God know what we are, where we have come from, and we know that God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. God the Spirit comes to us through the preaching of His gospel, revealing our need of a Savior, revealing our need of a physician. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 10, verses 13 and 14. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not been believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The gospel must be preached. God comes to us in that gospel. I don't know about anybody else here, but it wasn't until I heard the gospel preached in this seat right over here next to Shirley that I became to know who the Lord Jesus Christ really was. He comes to us through the gospel, revealing our need of a miracle of the new birth. In verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says, "And you hath He quickened, gave life." Christ is the only one who can give life. But He's not giving life to all of mankind. If God was giving life to all of mankind, nobody would die and go to hell.
That's exactly right.
If you think God would allow that, then He's not God, is He? And He doesn't deserve the word God. God means sovereign ruler over everything, whether you like it or not. In John 17:2, "As Thou, God the Father, hast given Him, God the Son, power over all flesh, that He, God the Son, should give eternal life to as many as Thou, God the Father, hast given Him, God the Son." Folks, I'm telling you by the authority of God's Word, God has mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth. That's His words. "Thus saith the Lord, those who praise God do it in spirit and in truth."
Amen.
We praise Him for His great love, as we read in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He had loved us." The great 3-in-1 has loved His people from everlasting to everlasting. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In verse 4 of chapter 1, we read, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him. Again, in chapter 1, we see in verse 5, we were predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. The Lord's not sitting here waiting for you to make a choice. In the day of his power, he will give you the reason, the opportunity, and the willingness to make that choice to him.
Amen.
Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was. That means, Mike, you've been a child of God long before you ever knew it. We know what we deserve. We deserve the wrath of God. We too had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. Amazing grace, how great that sound that saved a wretch like me. But does it end there? No, it doesn't end there at all. Let's continue in verse 6, but I'd like you to consider your own name in those words. I'm not asking you to change God's word, I'm asking you to apply it to yourself. And hath raised me up together and made me to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward me through Christ Jesus. We sit right now, all of God's children, right now as though we were in heaven itself. God remembers our sins no more.
That's right.
How can that be? How can God remember my sins no more? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he willingly became flesh. Because he walked perfectly in my stead. Because he sacrificed himself as my substitute. Because he shed his own blood for my sins and all of his people. Because he was raised from the dead for my justification.
Yes.
Because he sits right now on his throne in heaven, ruling over all things, working all things out according to his own counsel. It is well with my soul. Why? Because God's in control. And if he's in control, I have nothing to worry about. I still do. I still forget it. I still fall away from my belief at times, but the Lord lets me do that just so I can fall flat on my face and bring me right back to looking to him. Who can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? I can't. I don't have the power over God. Let's continue again with verses 7 and 8. Again, reading as though it applies to ourselves. For by grace I am saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. Thank you for your prayer, Pastor. That blessed me. I do need that.
All of us.
Every moment. We praise God because of his Son. Because of who he is. All sovereign ruler. God. Because of what he has done. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Because of what he is doing this very moment, sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for all of his chosen blood-bought children. And this brings me to my third point. How do we praise God? Turn to Romans chapter 4, if you would, please. In John 6:47, I'll read while you're turning to Romans 4. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Remember we read faith is a gift from God in Ephesians? Remember also that we read that you must worship in spirit and in truth? So I would say that praising God is believing the truth about Him, about the Lord Jesus Christ according to His Word. In Romans 4:17, let's look at a man. Let's look at the story of a man who had faith, who believed, who had the gift of faith from God. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in the hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, speaking of Abraham, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, his wife, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, praising God, giving praise, all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing God, believing His Word, when God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, believing that in your heart, knowing that you're in the hands of the Almighty Living God, Jesus Christ, sitting on His throne, knowing that nothing can separate you from His love, you're praising God. You're giving God all the praise because it's definitely not anything you have done. It was Him who came to you, came to me, gave us that revelation of who He is, what He has done, and what He's doing now. We worship God by praising His Son. We praise God by believing His Son. We glorify God because of His Son. Yes. Now, if you would, turn over to Luke chapter 24, and I'll bring this to a close. The song goes, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as His sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Luke 24, verse 45. Then opened He. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Our Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, when Peter said, thou art the Son of the living God. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it. Pastor Gene didn't reveal anything to me. He simply got up and read the Word of God. I'm not revealing anything to you at all tonight. I'm simply reading the Word of God. God the Father must reveal that to us. God the Father must open my mind, our minds, to the understanding that we might understand Scriptures. That's our prayer every morning. In the men's meeting, when we have our men's meeting, we pray that the men that stand before us will have the unction to speak, and that God might give us the ears and the minds revealing His Word to us. The Word must be revealed by the Spirit. And said unto them, in verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance. God grants repentance. God grants us the ability to turn from the false doctrines that we've been taught all our lives. God gives us the ability to repent against the way we used to see Him. But I like what Pastor Gene brought out last time he spoke about repentance. It's not just turning from. It's turning to.
That's right.
Turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to Him for everything. Lord of all. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, continuing in verse 48 and 49, being behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye endued with the power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy.
Yes, sir.
And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God.
Amen.
I can't help but look out here tonight and see a congregation that is almost bigger than the one we had this morning. I don't question the number that God brings into this building. That's not what I'm doing here. What I'm saying is you're praising God by being here, hearing His word preached. God's people praise Him by believing in Him, turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, and worshiping where God is worshiped.